Welcome to the Nieces Nugs Podcast. What's up, friends? Welcome back to the Nieces Nugs Podcast, Season 3, Episode 45, and the third part of the Mystery Trip installment. On the last episode, we ended up with a night in Chicago. That's right, after we gathered back up from the entertainment, well, some people had entertainment, that's right, those of us that went to saw Hamilton, and those that did not go see a Bulls game, we all met up, and it was time to reveal the next destination for the mystery trip. So as we gathered, they found out that we were headed to the Northeast. Boston, Massachusetts would be the destination, bright and early in the morning. We went to sleep at the Doubletree, included one student who drew the shortest straw sleeping on a windowsill. We'll leave that there. That was up to him. But then we had an early wake-up call, simple Uber to the airport. Remember, we're heading to Midway, which is a great option. Friends, if you're traveling to and from some big cities, always consider the less popular airport might be the best option for you. Security wasn't bad at all. Grabbed our breakfast taco, grabbed a coffee in the airport. And then we are off flying Southwest to Boston. Now, let me just say this. If you are unfamiliar with Southwest Airlines, if you pay premium money, you can get a seat in the first through 15 numbers. And what this means is it's general seating. So it's first come, first serve as you get on the plane, which means if plane is the first flight of the day, the flight is going to be completely empty. And so whatever number you have to get on the plane, you get to pick what seat's available. If you choose to do premium seating, you'll pay a little extra and be in the A group, numbers 1 through 30. But then, based after that, it's all quick how quickly you check in. And so if you want to check in quickly, according to check-in time, because then you get to pick some seats on the airplane. We grab our seats on Southwest, and we're headed to Boston. Now, once we land in Boston, it's time to get the rental car, or the rental vehicle, I should say. The Boston rental facility is off-site, so you have to take the free shuttle bus there. A couple little hints for you. If you're traveling to places and getting on one of these shuttles to get a rental vehicle, number one is this. If it's possible, rent from a company that has an app and allows you to pre-check in the app or online. I'm telling you, as much as I travel, this is crucial to saving time, especially when the lines back up, when the places are busy. If you can have that app and skip the lines and have your vehicle ready for you, it's absolutely the way to go. Number two is this, get free status with some of these companies, because even if you don't rent from them a lot, even if you have a status and have an account set up for their company, you will be rewarded with less lines, more options, better service. So if you're renting from Avis, sign up for a free Avis rewards number. If you're renting from Alamo, sign up for a free Alamo number. I'm telling you, it's the way to go as you rent these vehicles. Number three is this. If you take the shuttle and when you take the shuttle, try to stand near the door, near as the door as possible, because when it's busy and if you're having to stand by the door, especially if it's busy, if your bus is packed, you can assume the rental car place is going to be busy. So you need to get off and get moving quickly, because you do not want to be behind slow people who cause lines to back up and have no idea what they're doing. So we head out, we go to get our vehicle. Because of my Avis preferred status, I get to choose which vehicle I want. I need an 8-passenger vehicle, so I find a nice Suburban, and we get moving just as quickly like that. Our first stop, we are headed into downtown, and it's time early in the morning to stop for some donuts. Now, if you know Boston, you know that Boston has a lot of Dunkin' Donuts everywhere. But there's a place that I like better than Dunkin' Donuts. In fact, I like them way better. It's a place called Cane's Donuts. If you're from Boston, you've heard of Cane's. This donut spot started in Saugus and still has that spot, but they also have opened a downtown location, which is fairly easy to get into, especially on a Saturday. So it wasn't too crowded. Made a little stop, ran in. I grabbed a dozen variety, and we are off. You can tell that these donuts are going to be good and filling because the box is heavy, and friends, they were delicious. From there, it's time to take the students to Harvard Square. The students wanted to see the campus of Harvard, which is in the Cambridge area of Boston. It was a pretty day as we walked around, nice fall day, leaves falling, beautiful day, cute little campus, and some cool spots in the square. If you're up in the Boston area near Cambridge, make sure you go by Harvard. From there, it's time to make our way back towards the main part of the city. We make a stop at Fenway Park, which is on the way back into town. Let me just say this. There are so many things to see and ways to go in Boston. But we just had one day, so we definitely hit some touristy spots. But the surrounding communities of Boston have tons to offer, tons to experience. And so if you want to do it, man, there's plenty of time. Make multiple days, make a multiple-day trip, and enjoy Boston for yourself. But back to our quick itinerary, cities have parking issues, so it's tough to park around Fenway Park. I drop the students off, let them explore, and then I find some parking and catch up. Fenway is really cool, and I recommend a visit to the park for sure. If possible, go to a game there because it's the oldest active park in the major leagues. It is an amazing experience to not only see the park, but to go in and experience a game. There's several shops around that you can buy Boston souvenirs. There's even some places that are just up the street from the typical Fenway shop that actually has some cheaper options as well. But Fenway is a must stop if you want to go see where the Red Sox play. Now, then we head downtown and check out several spots from what's known as the Freedom Trail. That's right. If you're in Boston and you care anything about history, the Freedom Trail needs to be on your list. It is really, really cool. Collection of museums, churches, meeting houses, parks, a ship. You get the point. It tells the story of the American Revolution and beyond. It's 2.5 miles long path through the city of Boston. It has about 17 significant locations, according to U.S. history, including Boston Common, the Old North Church, Bunker Hill Monument, Old State House, Paul Revere House, site of the Boston Massacre, the USS Constitution, and Faneuil Hall, which happened to be our next stop. Faneuil Hall, I dropped the students off at Faneuil Hall, and they ended up in Quincy Market. Now, friends, let me give you a little bit of advice. Do yourself a favor and walk through Quincy Market, but skip lunch at Quincy Market. There's no reason for you to fall into the tourist trap of eating at a place where tourists eat. There are so many places right outside and around and different fresh markets all around there. If you find yourself at Quincy Market, probability is high that you're eating with other tourists in the area and not with locals. There's so many other options around. So this is a walkthrough place, but alas, I was too late and the students wasted their money eating things that did not fill them and were not satisfying. But okay, we move on. We walk to the north end of town in the Old North Church, Paul Revere's house. And of course, if you're up there in the Old North Side and checking out some of the Freedom Trail sites, you have an option to get Italian food, which is great. But also, you should at least stop at Mike's. That's right, Mike's Pastry Shop, home of the famous cannoli. And friends, they are delicious. I love Mike's. I understand that not everybody does. I don't think the students appreciated them like I did, but you should at least try one. There is a reason that the line backs up. There is a reason that they move product like they do. Friends, I think these cannolis are delicious. From there, we walk to the Boston Massacre site, and just kind of there's a placard on the ground. You can kind of see where it happened, but then we drove around to some other places, including Boston Common, Beacon Hill, which is a beautiful neighborhood, went up to Bunker Hill, and ended up on the USS Constitution, which is an active commissioned ship in the sense of, like, there are people working it. You can go on the ship and see different things. We parked. It is a free natural historic site, so you have to pass through some minimal security. But, friends, if you like history and you like to explore things, this is a must-see in Boston. And at this point, the day is becoming shorter and shorter. As the sun is about to set, we don't have much time in the city of Boston. We don't have many plans for the night. I offer the students a couple things. I say, hey, friends, we're flying out tomorrow from the city of Connecticut. That's right, just in Bradley Airport in Northern Connecticut, just outside of Hartford. So we have some driving to do, but I offered the students, hey, we can go to Maine right now and you can experience another state in Maine and then head home there from Maine. We don't have a place, a hotel stay yet, but I'm not worried about it. Or we can go down to Rhode Island. We can go to New Hampshire. We can go any of these places, whatever you want. They had a little conversation. They voted, and we began heading south towards Providence, Rhode Island. At this point, we really don't have a hotel still. No worries. I know we will find one. We just planned on checking out Providence, having dinner, and then moving along. We decided that we really wanted a burger spot in Providence, so we began looking through there. Some other folks looked up things to do in Providence. And sometimes life comes at you fast, and you just have to adapt on the fly. When we got to Providence, traffic was absolutely crazy. Who knew that that small capital of Providence would be absolutely crowded and a traffic nightmare? But it was. It was a Saturday night, so that probably played into it. But as we were driving into Providence, half our group was checking out places for the food, and the other half was looking for ideas for entertainment. They quickly found out there was a Broadway show playing at the main theater, so they asked David, can we go check this show out? Can we go see how much these ticket prices are? And of course, you know me, I like a bargain, so I do what I do. I went up to the ticket king, I walked up to the box office, and I just said, do you have any rush tickets for tonight's show? And again, if you haven't listened to our Broadway for discounts episode, this is how it works. There are rush tickets, which refers to tickets where you just rush to the box office to ask. Sometimes there are limited seats, limited view seats. Sometimes there are producer seats. Sometimes there are extra seats that haven't gotten sold, whatever it is. But a lot of times they'll sell you what's called rush tickets at a significantly discount price. It happens all throughout Broadway in New York City. But also, a lot of times when they travel with Broadway shows, they do this as well. And so I asked for rush tickets. They offered a price that was simply too good to pass up. So I walk back to the van or to the Suburban, and I say to everyone, this is the price I was quoted. Do you want to see it? It's $20 to see a Broadway show. Everyone was in. We were committed, but we had to find a place to eat to get back for our show. So we call a couple places to see who could accommodate a party of eight on a Saturday night with little to no notice. We found a burger spot called Harry's. In fact, we went to, there's a Harry's on the Hill. There's a second Harry's, but Harry's on the Hill would take us. It was actually voted best burgers in Rhode Island, and so we were in. They had sliders. You order a couple sliders as your order. They were fantastic. Then we go see our show, and then we have to drive because we have a place to stay that's in Hartford area. In fact, that's right. So I know that I would rather drive at night and then that way be closer to the airport in the morning. So we go see our show. We drive about an hour and a half drive to East Hartford, Manchester area. I am exhausted. I have to get out sometimes and walk around the vehicle just to kind of stay awake because everyone else goes to sleep. Yeah, keep that. For those of you keeping track, that's Illinois, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut, all in one day. I'm tired, but then guess what? We make it to the hotel. It's a nice little spot. The Cambria Hotel, Manchester, looked like a nice little new place. It did not have breakfast, one thing I normally like to do, but that's okay. The next morning, I found a little bagel spot called Between Rounds Bagel Shop. It was an excellent little spot, probably served us really quickly. No, it was no issues at all. Nice little Starbucks coffee right across the parking lot. And so that's how we experienced our morning. On the way to the airport, we make one stop at my wife's childhood home a few miles south of the Bradley Airport. Now, kind of a little awkward because somebody saw me taking pictures of the house. They opened the curtain. And I'm like, just a party of eight out here taking pictures of you. But it was really cool to see where my wife grew up, her home for when she was a kid. But then we drive to the airport, easy return at the airport, hand the keys, or actually you got to fill up the vehicle first with gas, then hand the keys over, easy airport. Bradley is an easy airport to get in and out of and get through security, and we're about ready to go back to Myrtle Beach. Friends, this was an incredible mystery trip, and when I say mystery, there were parts that still had to be decided as we were on the road. people ask me, why do you do this? And there's several reasons why. Number one, I actually enjoy it. Number two, I want students to overcome fears and anxiety and give up control. And some of the ways we do this allows us, I also want to instill travel into my students. I want to teach them leadership lessons on the road, practical doing it, and doing and experiencing this together. And I think ultimately this builds and bonds a team. So there's so many factors. There's I can go on and on. But ultimately, I think this mystery trip helps the health of our team and helps it grow. And so I'm excited about it. Great, great mystery trip, incredible travel party, incredible travel trip. And I love seeing students enjoying travel. What about you? Where are you at with all this? Do you want to go on a trip? Do you want to go on a mystery trip? You don't have to do it all, but maybe this year you should put something on your mind, a place on your mind where you're like, you know what? I'm going to make this happen somehow, some way this year, even if you don't think it's possible before or didn't even interest you. Make it happen this year. Speaking of that, I think we should talk about Disney next. That's right. Coming down the pipeline on the next few episodes, I will talk specifically about Disney and whether or not you should have the Disney experience. I did, and you'll find out what I think. Thanks for joining me on Nieces Nugs Podcast.